Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, 12:02. Second half of the show is underway. Dean Brown's going to join us in about an hour from now as our Sens at NHL Insider. We're going to get to some hockey talk right now with a friend of the show. Put your hands together, mes amis, for the one and only Sylvain Saint-Laurent from Ledoux on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Sly, good afternoon. How are you?
It's good to see you guys again. It's been way too long.
All right. Way too long. All right, so how's your hockey offseason been going? You know, the Olympique provided a lot of news for you, but their season is now over, but there's still a lot of news. The Sens season's been over for a while. What's keeping Sly occupied?
Well, like you said, exactly. It's been this week is the Quebec League draft, and as you may know, they make this into a pretty big show, almost like a mini NHL draft, as opposed to the OHL or WHL. So there's always tons of news breaking, and like you said, the Olympics have pretty much handled everything off ice the worst way possible ever since the season started. So that was, you know, left busy. And now that it's becoming quiet on the Sens sell front, well, we have the Alex DeBrink rumors to keep us busy. So that's the best part about being a hockey reporter these days. There's off-season doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and just coming in to work today, it's like, yeah, we've been talking about DeBrinket for obviously a while now, but you get that news last night and kind of show writes itself with the fans wanting to weigh in on that. So what do you think of the latest that he's given a list of some teams to Pierre Dorion and the Senators, and what kind of package would you hope to see the Senators kind of try to land for him?
Well, I don't know about the package. I mean, because there's so many possibilities. And the one thing I'm going to say about this is Pierre Dorion has done some of his best work in the last couple of years when he wasn't dealing in the best position of strength. The Matt Murray trade comes to mind. So I wouldn't want to risk myself there, only because there's so much that can be done with this team right now. We all know where the help is needed. But the one thing I do want to say today is, well, first of all, the latest news don't come as a surprise. The fact that, or the lack of progress in the last month, I'm going to say, it was, you know, all leaning towards the fact that maybe the DeBrincat wasn't crazy about committing himself long-term here. And the other thing is, and the more I'm thinking about this, even though he's a great player, and he's going to make his next team very, very happy, I don't think he's essential to the success of the Senators here, guys.
No, but we've started to have that discussion as well. Like, he's a really good player. Let's flip it around, because we've kind of asked ourselves this question. Get your thoughts on it. Well, just phrase it this way. Let's say he did want to be here, right?
Yeah.
What's your cutoff price point on the Sens side of the fence? Because your priority, really, your big-ticket priority is Sanderson's next contract, which you can sign him to at any time after July 1st, right? That would be number one still, no matter what you think of Alex DeBrincat. But let's say he wanted to be here, Sly. What would be the term and number that, from the team perspective, you say, we like you, but we don't love you. We can't do that. We can't give you that much money. Because, to your point, the team's headed in the right direction, you know, with or without Alex DeBrincat. It'd be helpful if they can get a nice return for him, of course, and that's the hope. But it's not devastating that if he doesn't want to be here, that he won't be here. So what would be your cutoff if he did want to be here, where you say, you know what, that's too rich, we can't do it?
Well, I mean, not that it's a clear cut in any way, shape, or form, but it's quite obvious after the way last season went that Tim Stützle will be this team's number one forward, and that Brady Tkachuk is the team's heartbeat and the most important leader. It might be the second most important forward on the ice. So if you're not going to, you know, maintain yourself in the stratosphere, you can't really be asking from the Sens much more money than what these guys are making. So to me, that was the main thing from the start. Alex DeBrincat probably wants more, might be able to get more if you get to a team that's desperate for offense. And to me, that was right there. Anything over $8.5 million a year was a lot to ask, especially you know, even though, you know, all the circumstances, I understand that there's a lot of things in play, but he didn't have his greatest year last season. So for him to ask more than this and to be the Sens' most best paid forward when at times he might have been number five on the depth chart, the way things were going last year, even without Josh Norris, might have been a lot to ask.
On top of that, a lot of fans talking about wishing for the Senators to make a move between the pipes. And there's been names like Carter Hart, Connor Hellebuyck, UC Saros, among others, tossed out. Do you think that this is an area that the Sens need to improve over the course of the offseason? And is there a name that sticks out for you?
Well, that's the thing, right? You need to be able to pay Jake Sanderson for sure, but the new contract will not kick in right now. You look at the amount of money that's made available, and I don't think the Sens need to have the best goalie out there. All that they need to have is a guy that's reliable, that will show up and be able to do his job for 55 games in a year. And that's something I mean, like, yeah, exactly. When was the last time that the Sens really had a goalie that you could say, okay, we can pencil him in for 50, 55 solid games this year, and he'll be there when called upon, and we won't have to worry at all about him?
Oh, man, yeah. Point made, right? This has been going on for a number of years where whomever's been coaching this team, this predates DJ, really, you know, because, you know, towards the end of Craig Anderson's time here, it's been tough to get, just to have somebody that, hey, so-and-so is healthy and available and is competent. Like, that's where the bar is right now, right? And we haven't even been able to reach that in recent years.
That's it. And, you know, credit enough, I don't know how much, you know, this was predicated and how much was grabbing the best players that were available. But now this team is built on offense and should be built on offense for the next couple of years. This is a team that was middle of the pack as far as goals scored last season in the NHL. Should move up to the upper tier if everything goes according to plan with Chychrun's help and Jake Sanderson getting older a little bit. The scoring shouldn't be an issue. So right now, all you need right now, I'm going to repeat myself, can you play goal? Can you stop, you know, the routine? Can you make the routine saves? Can you every once in a while save a goal? Not only to steal a game, just to save a goal once in a while and show up and be healthy for 55 games. And when this team gets to the playoffs, you know, just keep going. That's all you need. So to me right now, that larger the list for available goalies just becomes larger because the Sens don't need to shoot for a top guy. They just need the good guy, a guy who will be there for them.
I don't think, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I don't think you've been on the station since Pierre Dorion went on a couple of podcasts and then joined us as well, when he was on TSN 1200, did not give a vote of confidence publicly to DJ Smith being back. And he did state that he'll give his recommendation to the new owners once that's settled. Just what did you read into his comments on that, and do you believe that DJ Smith will be back? I know it's hard to speculate with not knowing who will own the team, but just thoughts on Pierre Dorion's comments.
First of all, Creech, were you on that show the day that Pierre Dorion was interviewed?
Yeah, it was Versage and I, yeah.
Exactly, because I was going to give credit to my friend Lee Versage, but also to you. I remember listening to that interview live and thinking that might have been one of Pierre Dorion's best media pieces of a long time. He was very honest, he said a lot about this team's plans. And of course, yes, the main thing was about DJ Smith's future. I feel for DJ Smith because, like you said, like it might have been the furthest thing from a vote of confidence you've seen in a coach. Dorion coming in and saying that basically he made his decision and whenever the new ownership comes in place, then he'll make his recommendation. So that's, you know, unless we're all gravely mistaken, this means that DJ Smith's days with Ottawa, as long as Pierre is the GM, are numbered. But right now you can't make that move. You can't make a coaching move because whoever's going to come in as the new owner might want a coach on a long-term contract. So you can't make any kind of decisions that way. And I understand where Pierre is coming from. I wrote a few columns about this. I think maybe a new voice behind the bench, somebody who's been to the playoffs, who knows how to get there and who might be able to bring a few different ideas, might not be the worst thing for the Senators right now. But you feel for DJ because as far as player development goes and the way he brought up every single prospect on this team organization, treated them well with respect, gave them the appropriate amount of ice time, He's done a great job. He deserves another shot somewhere else. He will grow as a coach, get better with time. But right now, he's kind of stuck in a holding pattern. And well, of course, at least he's got one more year to his contract, so he's not completely out to dry. But you wish for the situation to get resolved as quickly as it can.
Well, we've also discussed the other kind of big piece of news from a player saying, "I'm not going to sign with you," last night, that came out on TSN's Insider Trading. I'll put it to you this way. When will Pierre-Luc Dubois be a Montreal Canadian, Sly?
I don't think it's that easy.
No?
I'm not entirely sold on the fact that, you know, I understand that Pierre-Luc Dubois wants to be a Hab. Like, I'm not getting the sense that from the other side, maybe it's just posturing, maybe it's just can't use... trying not to give himself way too much and to negotiate, but I'm not sure the Habs are completely sold on Dubois, given everything that they've been doing so far of late or anything. Of course, it seems like a pretty good fit. The fact that he's a Quebec-born player, he wants to be in Montreal. That, you know, that doesn't happen necessarily so often. Sometimes Quebec players are happy to play far from home, but I'm not completely sure that Montreal will be his next destination.
What do you thought of the Stanley Cup final so far with Game 3 going tonight? It obviously 2-0 Vegas. Do the Panthers have an opportunity to make this a series?
The good thing is the next game, like the first 7 or 8 minutes, should tell us everything we need to know. Like, if the Panthers have anything left in the tank, like, they're going to throw everything they can at the start of this game to try to get the fans going, and because they need something. They need something big. If it doesn't happen, then it'll be a very short finals, reminding us of the 2007 finals between Ottawa and Anaheim. And I'm not to say that I'll be as happy as my friend Steve Lloyd to see Mark Stone as a captain hoisting the cup, but I'll be pretty happy nevertheless.
Oh, he'll be fist pumping, eh? Just like the classic GIF we all see in New York. Is it going to count? And he just goes Breakfast Club. A little fist into the air. Sure, why not? All right. Should I ask you about the Sens sale? I guess I did. What are your thoughts at this stage?
I'm ready to see it all unravel right now at this moment. I mean, I guess, you know what? It's all quiet right now, which is probably a good sign. I'm not sure who still has to gain to let those things drag on. I understand it's a delicate and complicated process because we're talking about a $1 billion sale, but just you know, and for everyone involved and the fans especially, right now, you know, there's lots to be done to prepare for the next season. The new owners that will come in for sure have a plan to get this team competitive as soon as possible and to cash in on Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk's greatest years of their careers and so. So in order to give them time, a little bit of landing left before to hit the ground running and have a good first season, I really hope this doesn't drag into July.
Hear, hear. Yeah, pretty much all I can say about that as well. I want to pivot back. We kind of brushed up against it just before we let you go.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what has gone on with the Gatineau Olympique, with all of the change? And then they name the interim GM, and then that GM steps aside. And, of course, Louis Robitaille, that situation. Why did it all of a sudden seem to get so tumultuous with the Gatineau Olympique after the season?
It starts with the most important person in the organization, which is, at that moment, the coach and the GM, who is not very well liked by everyone in the ownership group, and the ownership group in the Olympics, that's a lot of people. That's like, I heard anywhere from 15 to 18 different stakeholders. So the decision is made to let him go. But as you can understand, a guy who has both jobs as GM and coach makes a lot of money. So to make the decision to let one person go and to still have to pay him, that's not very an easy one to make. So maybe that's where they stumbled out of the gate, waited maybe a little too long to replace him. And then once they decided to let him go, then it should be fairly easy. You have a GM to hire. You have a coach to hire. You made it clear that both hires were going to be separate. Then you start from the start. You hire the right GM who will oversee hockey operations. And then you had that person hired a coach, and that's where they really, really messed up. They named an interim GM who said he was interested in staying and keeping the job long term, and he was even starting to talk about hiring the coach. But then after a few days left, and here we are as the draft is real near. It's a good thing they still have some good people in hockey operations, including the Senators forward Derek Brassard to oversee operations. But I think that the Senators have slipped on a banana peel or two in the last couple of weeks. And the worst part is they placed those peels right there on the floor and slipped on them themselves.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Got the draft you coming this week. And I know Kenny is off. You know Kenny loves his junior hockey, right?
Yeah.
Voice of the 67s. He's always lamented the fact he wishes the OHL did it like the Q did for the draft. Because it's not nearly as big a deal. So that's always fun. So enjoy covering that, Sly. Thanks for joining us here on the show today.
All right, guys. Anytime. Have a good day.
All right. There's Sly. Sylvain Saint-Laurent on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Okay, any thoughts on that? I'd like to get, as you know, I like to dip in and get the perspective from Sylvain from time to time here on the show. Plugged in. Great reporter. Any thoughts on what he had to say, feel free. Send them in to 12-1200. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, 12:23. Thank you, Sly, for joining us there. Dean Brown's going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock as our Sens at NHL Insider. Your texts continue to come in, and we're talking about different things. By the way, we do have Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight coming up at 7:30 for your pregame show, play-by-play shortly after 8. So we'll have Game 3 with the Panthers trying to make a series of it. Down 2-0, playing host to the Vegas Golden Knights this evening, and we'll have it on TSN 1200. Dean will talk more about that with us at the top of the hour. The text messages that continue to come in here, like I said, I've tried to bring up some other things, and I have, but it's all trade proposals coming in and thoughts on DeBrincat. It is what it is, Graham. The people have spoken. This is what we're sinking our teeth into here today, which is fine. All right. Here's what I came up with. Comes from unsigned. Blues get DeBrincat extended. And Lassie Thompson. Arizona gets Brännström and Kapanen. St. Louis' first 10th overall. St. Louis 2024. Ottawa gets Keller and the 28th from the Blues. There's your little complicated three-team trade just proposed there from unsigned. Okay. See, I did the same thing a few days ago. I just went, if you're looking to get a first-round pick as part of a return, and who knows, we have no idea if that's a priority or not. St. Louis is the only team that has three first-round picks. And there are seven other teams that have two in this year's draft. St. Louis has 10, 25, and 29. And we don't even know, is St. Louis, it's been speculated that St. Louis has had interest in DeBrincat in the past. I know Elliot Friedman threw that out there before the trade deadline this year. And also I think he more recently was told that DeBrincat is, quote, Doug Armstrong's kind of player. Is St. Louis on the list? Is that something that could be possibly feasible to pull off a deal? Like I was spitballing with some other people on this just through text as well, Graham. And like if you were looking to replace the offense or somewhat replace it, right? Somebody you can plug in to your top six. And I think he's got a little bit of trade protection in it, but would a guy like a Pavel Buznevich and something else, would that do it for Sens fans? If you were going back to our web poll question, and that's leading the way, but not by a lot, and what's leading is you try to replace the scoring that you're going out. So anyways, all kinds of trades, speculations pouring in here. Keep them coming.
Wouldn't that do it? Like, for me, that would.
Yeah,
like you get a little bit more than Buknevich, yep. But the guy has proven that he's a 25 goal scorer.
Yep.
And for me, that's, he's a left winger. That's what I'm looking for. You don't need to be a guy that's going to score 40 plus, but have like a guy that is a legitimate top six forward, get something else as well, and isn't going to cost you maybe $9 million. Someone that can fit in somewhere, and then maybe you add on top of that as well in free agency to your middle six. That's something that I've been thinking about for quite some time.
Well, that's
a player like that.
I threw that exactly that at somebody else and kind of didn't love it, but then I think I warmed this person up to it a little bit. Like if it was St. Louis, that's what I'd be looking at. I'd be looking at Pavel Buznevich. That's my replacement for the skill right away. And let's talk about some picks here to possibly, maybe get something done. I don't know. Everything's a spitball at this point, including this one that came in. Anaheim, I don't know.
No.
This one, I can't see the Ducks doing this. Here's my trade idea for DeBrincat. Straight up for Mason McTavish. Give up some offense, strong two-way player with lots of upside. It's the last part where Anaheim's not ready to go yet. They're still in their building process and got a great collection of young players. Like, has this ever happened before in the history of the NHL that there is one NHL team that has the defenseman of the year from the respective CHL leagues as their property? Right now, that's what the Ducks have.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't. That's why I said no so quickly. I just don't think that's. Why would the Ducks do that?
Yeah. Tango's asking, would the Rangers be interested in a DeBrincat for a Capo Caco? I've seen people suggest that, or even a Lafreniere. Lafreniere needs a contract. But the thing with that, when you start to look at the Rangers cap friendly, you got to think any team that would be on his list, A, and I would presume the Rangers would be. You would think. I don't know for certain, but I think that's a fair guess. How do you fit, right? Wherever he goes, he's making a ton of dough. And it's a big cap hit. And you got to look at incumbent players. Some teams might be on his list and they might want to do something. It's like, well, but we got to move this. You got to take this back. And then you get into those kind of conversations as well. Anyway, it's given us fodder, hasn't it? Here we are with the news coming last night that the agent has submitted a list of teams to the Senators. That he'd be open to possibly signing an extension with and playing for and upping the trade value if he's not going to be here in Ottawa. And I think we can almost ditch the if, not going to play here in Ottawa long term. It probably has played his last game already as a member of the Ottawa Senators. Oh, man, there's so many here. I just want to go back in time here. Another one with the Rangers from Ben. Hey, fellas, I expected the Rangers to be aggressive on DeBrincat. They will not re-sign Kane and Tarasenko. They are in a win-now mentality. And over $11 million in cap space next year. Wouldn't be surprised if New York is not on his list. Cheers, Captain Ben. Yeah. They've got some expiring big money that they brought in. But when you look at the structure of the Rangers, they still got a lot of roster spots to fill out. Like, it's fine to say, look at all the cap space with said team. Well, sometimes under closer examination, they've only got 14 players signed. That's why they have so much cap space. They've got to pay guys, fill out their roster here. Just looking at their cap-friendly page right now. Lafreniere is an RFA. What's his next contract going to look like? He's coming out of his entry-level deal. Keandre Miller has become a very important defenseman for them. He's an RFA. He's coming out of his entry-level deal. They have to do something there. And then beyond that, that's still, you just got to fill sweaters. they got to fill the lineup out. So they don't have quite as much cap space as you think. And that it's the top of the food chain stuff. You're paying Panarin 11.6, Zibanejad 8.5, Kreider is 6.5, Trocheck's 5.6, Hedel 4.4, Goodrow 3.6, Kakko 2.1, Jimmy Vesey 800. That's the only signed forward so far. But at the top of it, you got some two big ticket items and one medium ticket in Kreider. And on the blue line, you're paying Adam Fox 9.5 and Trouba 8. And then it filters in after that. So, yeah, they could, but then they'd really probably have to go bargain hunting to fill out the bottom end of the roster. Would they be comfortable doing that as well? But would not rule it out if the Rangers were one of the teams that American kid, it's Manhattan, it's the New York Rangers, it's Madison Square Garden. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, it makes sense. Is that the direction the Rangers want to go in terms of changing the makeup slightly to their team? They had a lot of skilled players this year, and it didn't end up working out with the additions of Tarasenko and Kane to go along with what they already have. Now, you toss a 40-goal scorer in, then, yeah, that could be a great fit. But I just don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, somebody here, I got to click on it because it's unsigned. That mentioned Vemelka.
Oh, does the...
It is Mark. All right, Mark, you're on brand. Mark the Renegoli. He's been on that train for how... Mark, you tell us.
At least before the trade deadline. I remember doing post-game shows in February.
Yep. Mark is... he's nothing if he's not... He's not Monday morning quarterbacking anything. He has... Regular listener, thank you, Mark, for that, and contributes to the show from time to time. And when he does, oftentimes, he'll just randomly drop that in. Just a reminder, I'm saying this name again. And in his latest, I like a three-way trade with Phoenix and St. Louis, but add in Vemelka for a Chipotle franchise. All right. There's more twists and turns on this story still to come, obviously. We'll get back into some of your text messages that have come in. We do have Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. 7:30 pregame show on TSN 1200. Drop of the puck shortly after 8. It is the Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Florida Panthers. Radko Gudas, Paul Maurice saying he's going to play. I don't know. I just get the sense at this stage. Talk to me at the end of warm-up, right, to be certain. He is not 100%. He wasn't. He almost didn't play last game. Then he got rocked, and he left the game and didn't return. That's a huge loss, even if he is playing. Because if he's playing, what percentage is he at, right? Like, they ended up dressing 7D to insulate him before. Will they do this? Will Fitzgerald play again tonight? I haven't seen any further updates on that. But... And that's a credit to the player that he's turned himself into. That's a big loss. An absent or even diminished Radko Gudas. They just don't have a lot of that element on their blue line. Hockey's still a nasty sport. You need a little bit of that in your lineup. And Gudas, he is that. And he plays the game with a little more skill than he's been given credit for. And it has gotten better and better as he's he's played in the league. So we'll see what happens on that front. But it goes without saying, Graham, like it's they got to win tonight. Like it's you're not coming back usually anyway. The math is heavily against you, but I can't see this Vegas Golden Knights team the way they play. You're not losing four in a row.
No,
it's not happening. You no. have to have this is it. The series is tonight.
Yeah, and I think the sorry, a lot of chatter going on next door. Hang on.
Graham's gonna get the door. He's gonna. I want to hear Graham yell at somebody. Oh no, we didn't get it. He's being polite.
Sorry, he's just closing the door. There's a lot of chatter.
Actually, you didn't. I was wondering if we could hear you swear at somebody, but you didn't. Did you flip somebody off at least?
No. Just went and closed the door. That's all.
Oh, okay.
What were you asking me? Sorry, I was thrown completely off.
Oh, just the series just tonight. This is it.
Yeah, big time. And I think Gudas's health has a lot to do with it. I think maybe the extra day helps. Freeze something. And if he can provide the impact he did leading up to the Stanley Cup final, I think Florida has a chance to get back in the series. But if he's going to be limited or leave early again, I just don't think they have the depth on the blue line. That combined with just how good of a team Vegas is anyways to be able to do it. But I'm hoping for the Panthers tonight. Everyone wants a longer, closer series. Nobody wants to see Vegas win in 4 or 5, I don't think. Stanley Cup final. Let's have some drama. But I think a lot lies in how effective Gudas can be.
All right, so we'll have to. They say he's going to play, but it's that time of year, right? Trust your eyes more than your ears, and we'll see what happens. Warm up tonight towards the end of warm up, and how that's going to play out. And we'll have it for you on TSN 1200, starting with the pregame show at 7:30. Drop of the puck shortly after 8 o'clock. It's that time of year where there's all kinds of interesting storylines with various teams about trying to get contracts done, with a lot of RFAs as well. And it is interesting in New Jersey. I see that Dave Pagnotta over the fourth period has offered this. It's not much of an update, but he's offered this up recently in the last few minutes. Talks this week picking up between the Devils and GM Tom Fitzgerald and Timo Meier's agent. Things are categorized to me as status quo between New Jersey and Jesper Bratt's camp. So there's two key RFAs, and Bratt and Meier, that the Devils are trying to get done here. So that'll be interesting to track here. Those are going to be two big ticket wingers, very good players. And how the Devils, can they get them both done? If they don't, what does that mean? Like I heard Dave Poulin say this the other morning, and Dave's pretty plugged in. He's anticipating a ton of movement, like a lot. And the flat cap has got a lot to do with it. And also the pretty thin unrestricted free agent market this offseason has a lot to do with it. So we could be in for a lot of fun here if you're an NHL fan, just to track everything that's going on in the league. And it seems like most markets have something internal that has their attention big time. And the one right now, yeah, of course, in Ottawa, is the future of Alex DeBrincat.
And don't you just want to take advantage of that thin market on top of multiple teams saying that they need a change to get over the hump. So hopefully that works to their favor, on top of the fact that they're willing to provide a list of teams that he signed an extension with.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more. Dean Brown's going to join us coming up just past the top of the hour as our Sens and NHL Insider as In the Box continues on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Well, I just wanted to acknowledge something. Might as well slip it in here. This was rumored, and it was confirmed today by the Chicago Blackhawks. Congratulations to Nepean Zone. He's in the Nepean Wall of Fame at the Nepean Sportsplex. Former NHL goaltender, longtime broadcaster Darren Pang. He's going home, of sorts, to the organization that he broke in with in the NHL, the Chicago Blackhawks. Panger, after many years with the St. Louis Blues, and prior to that he was with the Coyotes calling games, he is now going back, and he is new caller voice of the Chicago Blackhawks after 14 years calling Blues games. Has it been that long? Because I remember we'd reach out to Panger and bring him on when he was still in Arizona, and a very young Kyle Turris was living with him when he first got to drafted and came to I think they were called the Phoenix Coyotes. That's how long ago it's been, right? At that point still. So Panger's on the move again, so congratulations to Darren, as he is now back to Chicago, and he's going to be calling games for the Blackhawks now. There. I was looking for ways to work that in. I'm not going anywhere with that, Graham. Good guy. Nepean native, Panger's on the move, and he's back to Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, I can dovetail to this. This is, you remember when the Florida Panthers did this a number of years ago, where they knew they weren't going anywhere, they weren't going to win, so let's just keep our picks, draft our players, build, and it took a long time, as we know with Florida. But then you're still in a cap league, right? It's like, well, there were some guys that capitalized on that. Like, okay, they're NHL players, and they signed like a series of one-year deals with the Panthers. And I remember the dollar figures at the time. The guy that sticks out was like Thomas Fleischman. I see, he got what? And I'm kind of feeling that with Chicago. Andreas Athanasiou has signed a two-year deal with the Blackhawks to stay there. 4.25 per. He had 20 goals and 40 points, but somebody had to get the ice time, right, and play. Well, good for him, because the Blackhawks, they got to spend to get to the floor. You see what else they're going to be doing with this. But they've become a team. It's like, it's not about winning right away. They're still looking on the building part of it. Like, Kane's gone, Taves is gone, like their biggest ticket item, and it was just so, the timing was just brutal, right? To make the Seth Jones deal, gets the monster contract, and then it goes sideways. And the way that thing is structured with the bonus money, it's just, oh, you're in jail with that. It's like, all right, is what it is. Even with that on the books, they're pared it down elsewhere. So, guys like Andreas Athanasiou making 4.25 per on a two-year deal. So that's a team if you're...
Got to get to the floor, right?
Yeah, if you're an okay guy, player, and listen, the speed's unbelievable, right?
Yeah. You've always been like... He had a 30-goal year 1 year.
Yeah, but there's a reason why he's bounced around. But hey, listen, I'm not begrudging, good for him, but... That screams like what the Panthers have done in years past, where, all right, we got to get to the floor. Got to overpay a few guys. And you're the winner. You're going to make a lot more money just because we need to pay you. Anyways, that's all I got to say about that, Graham. I have no further comment other than pointing out that seems a bit of an overpay, but when you look under the hood as to why... You can understand. All right, some other things I want to hit on here as well. The Carter Hart news that kind of broke periodically. It was like, what, a week and a half ago when it first surfaced, and Danny Briere then clarified and just says, I'm listening. And then after the Provorov deal, it picked up again. There was reports that they were working on a Hart deal. And then Danny Briere saying, no, we're listening still. It certainly seems like the Flyers are open for business, right, as to what they're trying to do. There's talk now. There's a report out there, Kevin Hayes. They've tried to move him before. Would they be willing to eat a little bit? Columbus has been linked or what have you. Like, there's if you want to look for an action team, it's the Philadelphia Flyers. It seems that there is a clear plan in place. They are tearing it down and rebuilding. And has that ever happened in the history of the Philadelphia Flyers? I would say no, right? That's always been a team that has never admitted that they've had terrible years where they've had a high pick, but it wasn't by design. They've never really done that. But here we go. How low will the Philadelphia Flyers finish this upcoming season? Like, when you start to look at how rosters are going to be pared down, are the Flyers, by the time training camp rolls around, are they going to be that team that's going to be in the running? It's like, ooh, that might be 32 right there. Like, how much are they going to strip it down, do you think?
I think as much as they can. I think there are a number of contracts that they're not going to be able to move. But yeah, I still don't think that that's going to be a very good hockey team. And I think that's the way it should be. I think they've needed to do this for some time. If they've tried to patch it together here and it hasn't worked out. So I think it's the right call.
All right. So that's something. Now that it's a game day, I'm less inclined to say what's next. There's the unofficial Gary rule in the league that I think most teams try to abide by during the Stanley Cup final. Especially, like, it is a game day. Don't take away from that. But you never know. There's so much floating around out there right now. I'm kind of prepared for some kind of a big deal at any point. And Philadelphia is a good a bet as any team to think that they might be next up. And they were kind of last up on the big deal with Provorov. We had the Gavrikov signing yesterday by the LA Kings, but certainly a team to keep an eye on there as well. And where I was going to say with the Carter Hart stuff, there was a report from speculation from San Jose citing Jeff Merrick, who kind of jumped on this as well, that could there be a fit there with Carter Hart? Would the Sharks be looking at him to come in and maybe be their goaltender of the present and future as they're still trying to build through with a couple of big contracts like a Carlson, like a Vlasic, like a Couture still on the books. Anyway, something to keep an eye on. Okay, we got to take a break because Dean Brown's standing by. We're going to talk to Dino coming up next, the voice of the Sens here on TSN 1200 on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Get his thoughts on all of this and the Stanley Cup Final, which resumes tonight on TSN 1200 with the pregame show at 7:30 and the drop of the puck shortly after 8. That's next. Dean Brown on the other side on TSN 1200.